Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from A to Z Sports, Ryan Roberts. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this evening. I got a two-parter to start it off. First of all, the state of the Irish nation. I know you covered Notre Dame for a long period of time. Now you diversified pro in college. The state of the Fighting Irish kind of fan base, everything else. Second question, the biggest difference between Marcus Freeman and the coach that's at LSU today and Brian Kelly.
Yep. It's a great question, guys, and I appreciate you guys for having me on, obviously. But I think they are kind of very closely related, obviously, right? Because it felt like for a long time under Brian Kelly, Notre Dame had risen the floor of the program, right? It was about beating the teams that you should always beat, winning a minimum of 10 football games, giving yourself a chance to be in a playoff or at least, you know, in contention of it late into a season. This feels a little bit different because, full transparency, there were some games in the Brian Kelly era where, like, when I was going into it, I'm like, I don't think Notre Dame can win. Like, I just don't. Like, 2020 against Alabama, I could have tried to convince myself, you know, if X, Y, and Z go right, they might have a chance to stay in that football game. But at the end of the day, you just didn't have the team to go toe-to-toe with Najee Harris and Devonta Smith and all these great players, right? But I think for the first time in a long time, and this is speaking from a analyst hat, but also with the fan hat on for a second, because I have grown up in Notre Dame fan my entire life, is this is the first time that I feel like Notre Dame has a chance against every opponent, which is just a crazy thing to say for a program that used to be, you know, one of the greatest programs in the history of college football, but has been a team that has needed to get back to the mountaintop, you know, over the last 30 years, obviously, right? So I think that it is very unique because even though on paper you say, okay, Anthony Knapp, starting left tackle's out now. You've had a string of injuries throughout the year. Benjamin Morrison and Jeremiah Love's had a little bit of a knee issue the last couple weeks, even though he keeps playing. Most people would say eventually that's going to catch up to you. Like, it's just not going to be able to be, you know, a consistent thing. At some point, all those injuries are going to add up and you're going to lose a football game. But even with all that and knowing how good and talented Ohio State team it is and what they've been able to do in the playoffs, Notre Dame fans, and myself included, still think they can win this game, right? Like, it's going to take a great effort. There's going to be a couple things that need to roll your way. You're going to have luck at your side in certain instances in the football game, and, you know, those pivot points are going to have to happen, but you still feel like Notre Dame can go toe-to-toe with Ohio State. and they could potentially win a football game. And I think that that's the biggest difference between the Brian Kelly and Marcus Freeman era is, right or wrong, misguided or not, Coach Freeman has infused a optimism in this program and a kind of a bully mentality to a degree, right? Like, even if you're playing against a Georgia, even if you're playing against Ohio State, like whoever, you feel like you're going to win. And I think that's the biggest difference. And that's a long-winded answer of saying there's a lot of optimism around this program right now, and they think they can win, which is a great starting point, obviously. Now you need to go do it.
Now, speaking of optimism, you can do it twofold. Look at Ohio State and look at Notre Dame where they were at. What was the mindset after, like, how in the hell they lost to Northern Illinois? A directional school. It's not the Fighting Illini or a Big Ten team. No, it's Northern Illinois. But then all of a sudden you win 13 straight games. And then you talk about optimism. I don't think the Ohio State fan base was too optimistic going forward after they lost a 500 Michigan team. They all ticked off. So it just goes to show you, can you weather the storm and adversity and then go forward? Because to me, that might have been the best thing to happen to Ohio State, how they lost to Michigan. They got humbled. And then maybe you could say the case for the Fighting Irish to win 13 straight after, like, whoa, we just got upset by Northern Illinois. And so you got to look at the whole foundation of both programs to be able to bounce back from that.
I think so. And I would even say, you know, to take it even a step further is, I really think that in the world of NIL and the transfer portal right now, it's a lot easier for college football teams to pack it in at some points, right? To say, you know, I'm out of here. I'm not working hard anymore. Like, that stinks. Like, I mean, and honestly, after losing to Northern Illinois when you are the University of Notre Dame and one of the proudest traditions in college football, I wouldn't have blamed some players for not giving up. Giving up's not the right word, but like having that mentality of like, man, like, where is this going? Like, kind of questioning the philosophy and questioning the vision and whatever, everything that you put in the details of what is going to make you a winning program. I wouldn't have blamed a single person for having their doubts. And I think you said it perfectly. Like, Notre Dame has used that as fuel, you know, to reel off 13 straight victories, have the most wins in a single season. Now, obviously, there's an asterisk there because they're playing more games now, but you're 14-1, you've won 13 straight games, and you've beaten along the way, you know, some pretty good football teams, especially the last couple weeks, you know what I mean? So, yeah, they've used it, and I think the great thing that Coach Freeman is, before I get over to the Ohio State side, is that Coach Freeman has continuously mentioned Northern Illinois. Like, he's telling his players each and every week, that's cool, guys, this is a great feeling, but like, remember how you felt that way, right? Like, when you lost that game and you were the laughingstock of college football and you were an embarrassment to everything, and I was too, then that's the feeling that we need to keep with ourselves. So I think that they did use that, and I think the same thing with Ohio State, you know, being able to go and beat Tennessee the way you did, to beat Oregon the way you did, and, you know, it was a tough physical game, which they ended up obviously getting a late score against Texas, but like, Michigan woke them up. They did, you know, because I think the biggest question has been, you're Ohio State. You have three standards to uphold. One is to beat Michigan. One is to win a Big Ten championship game. And then one is to try to win a national championship. Well, the last 4 years, you haven't beaten Michigan. You haven't won a Big Ten championship game. And, you know, you have the opportunity to win the national championship potentially, obviously, coming up here soon. So you needed to be able to wake up, because there is a lot of people after the Michigan loss, and I think deservedly so to a degree, saying, man, is Ryan Day the guy? Like, is this going in the right direction? So I think both teams have used those losses to really ignite themselves and to really get the best version of themselves in the most important stretch of the season. And I think that without those two games, I don't think the teams would quite be in the position they are. Like, they needed those, in my opinion.
You know, and the question I have, Coach Freeman, you know, he's the hot commodity now where he's at. Do you think that the NFL intrigues him or not? Because you let him upset Ohio State, and then all of a sudden, oh, will he go to the Bears? Or, you know, the rumors and all are out there. So when you look at it from that perspective, and then if you stay at Notre Dame, is Notre Dame willing? Because academic-wise, it's a tough school. I mean, do you keep up with the Joneses as far as name, image, and likeness and all that, as far as paying players? Because just the way it is, you know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. And, you know, just got to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, going forward. So what's your take on that as far as Notre Dame in the future as far as getting the top prospects to keep up with, like, the Texases, you know, Texas, Texas A&M, or the whole SEC, Ohio State, whatever it might be. And then also, if you're a successful Notre Dame coach and you win a championship, it seems like always the top college coaches get an opportunity to coach or be a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, I think for Coach Freeman's side for a second before I go back to Notre Dame, like, I think the NFL intrigues head coach Marcus Freeman long term? Yeah, I do. I would not be shocked at all if at in the future he is in the NFL at some point. But I do think short term, that is not the goal for him right now. So I think that this rumors about the Chicago Bears and, you know, there's going to be others. I think it's premature right now. Now, if this happened 2 to 3 years from now, I would buy it a little bit more. I mean, literally the whole reason that they signed the contract when they did before the playoff even started was people around the program, including Marcus Freeman, wanted kind of the rumor mill and all that type of stuff to kind of die down a little bit, right? Like, you know, I just signed a 4-year deal, not interested, like that type of thing. Unfortunately, he is a hot commodity. He's 14-1. He's 39 years old. There's a lot of attractiveness to him as a head coach, but he's trying to keep that away from him right now. So I don't buy the Chicago Bears thing right now. I buy that Chicago's interested in him for sure, but I don't think that that interest is reciprocated now. If this happens in a couple years, you know, if he has a national championship under his belt, if he's won a ton of football games, I think that that could definitely be a future endeavor for him. Like, I would not be shocked at all if he enters the NFL. For the Notre Dame side of things, I can just say, you know, pointedly that Notre Dame is very competitive now in NIL. When the portal first started, when NIL started, you know, was legalized and all that type of stuff, there was hesitation, I think, initially, and I think by several programs. I don't think this was just a Notre Dame thing, but I think Notre Dame was kind of, you know, let's not jump in right away. Let's kind of understand what the landscape looks like before selling your soul, for the lack of a better term, right? So they wanted to see what NIL really looked like, you know, what the market would be, how crazy it would be, the chaos, all that type of stuff. And then when they understood it, like, Notre Dame's not afraid to go in the transfer portal. I mean, they just got 4 kids this past weekend from the transfer portal for their 2025 team, right? So, like, they're not afraid of the portal NIL-wise. For the recruiting side, they're going to be smart about it. I think they're going to pay, you know, upperclassmen and recruits and kind of let the rest go throughout the roster to make sure everybody is taken care for the best that they can. But they're not afraid to spend it at this point. But I do think that there is there's still a feeling of, let's be wise, right? Like, we're not going to dump, you know, just X amount of money, like $2 million into a kid that is not worth that in their estimation, right? So I think they're going to be a little bit wiser with it, but I know that they are very competitive NIL now, and they have, after the first year or so, a little bit hesitant with the transfer portal, they're not afraid to bring in it. Because, I mean, if you look at this team, Riley Leonard was a transfer portal kid, a couple of the wide receivers, Bo Collins, Chris Mitchell were transfer portal, RJ Oben, their kicker Mitch Jeter, who made the game-winning field goal. Like, they're not afraid to go into the transfer portal. It's just about the right guys and being able to make sure that you're not overspending for the talents or the impact that those guys give back to you.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan, I look at Ohio State's offensive line, and you know, when you lose your center like they did, and he was having a really good season. I remember scouting him when he was at University of Alabama, and he transfers to Ohio State, and then you know he gets hurt in practice the entire season. Man, one thing they got, Ohio State, at left tackle number 74, Donovan Jackson, he doesn't get a lot of ink. Because of the fact you overwhelmed with the two running backs and the receivers and everything. The one thing Texas was able to do was they kind of pushed the pocket. Not, they didn't get a great pass rush, but they got a push up front. And yep, not a lot of teams other than Michigan was able to do that to Ohio State. If Notre Dame doesn't get a push and Will Howard is left to sit back there and throw it to Abuka, and, you know, you got the freshman Phenom. My thing is, if you want to watch a really good offensive lineman, watch number 74, the left tackle for Ohio State, who I think will be in the category when it's all said and done with Kelvin Banks Jr., with Will Campbell at LSU. You got to get pressure on Howard. If not, he's going to pick you apart with that receiving crew.
Well, and Will Howard's played awesome in the postseason. I remember the first game when they lost at Oregon. Will Howard at the end, the clock ran out.
He spit the bit.
And then against Michigan. But the postseason, I'm like, man, if Ohio State plays like that, they're going to beat everybody. They look like an NFL team.
Yeah. Ryan?
They've been excellent. They really have. And honestly, Donovan Jackson had a rough first start. I think Penn State was his first start, and Abdul Carter got him a couple times. But, I mean, Abdul Carter gets everybody. Like, it's not like a knock on Donovan at all. But Donovan settled in the left tackle. I know, you know, fortunately for them, they've made some depth over the last couple of years, because obviously, like you said, you bring McLaughlin in from Alabama. You know, he gets hurt. And you do have, you know, a guy that started a full season in Carson Hinsman, just to kind of put him in at center overall, right? So you've been able to create some depth, which I think is great. I agree with you in the sense of Notre Dame needs to be able to create pressure, but more than anything, they need to be able to affect Will Howard. Because when he is in the pockets and he's cool, calm, collected, and he sees the field well, I think that he's a very good quarterback. And we've seen that for the most part this year. There have been a couple games that have been a little bit cloudy, and they've been cloudy for a couple different reasons. I think one is when you get pressure on a quarterback, I always kind of laugh at the, wow, this quarterback, you know, struggles more against pressure than he does. I'm just like, isn't that every quarterback ever? But like, yes, you want to pressure the quarterback. Obviously that makes them makes their internal clock speed up, makes them get into some rash decisions, makes them make mistakes. Like, those things are all very natural, obviously. But I think the other thing is Notre Dame is a heavy man team, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this week, you know, Notre Dame, are they going to go to more zone? Because obviously Will Howard's good throwing against man coverage. You have man beaters all over the place in Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Buka and all these dudes. So I think that Notre Dame is going to switch things up a lot, and I wouldn't be surprised, because they've done this in the past. I mean, Ohio State last year, Ohio State the year before, I mean, they had a great plan against C.J. Stroud 2 years ago against Ohio State, and they were in that football game for a long time. They almost beat Ohio State last year, came down in the last couple of plays of the game. But I really think that when I think the post-snap rotations, you know, kind of hiding your coverage a little bit, making Will Howard think he's seeing something, and then his process have to completely change after the snap, I think that's going to be big. But I think overall, like, Notre Dame is going to win some reps if they are just flat-out four-man rush, get home, no movement. Like, you just have to beat your man. They're going to do it once in a blue moon. But I think that the way Notre Dame is as disruptive as possible is they really need to have some movement up front. You know, I need some games. I need some twists. I need some stunts. Like, there's going to be any second-level pressures. Like, there's going to be some things I think that Notre Dame is going to have to pull out of their bag. And I'm confident they will, because Al Golden, defensive coordinator for Notre Dame, is a very creative mind and one of the best defensive coordinators in college football. So I would expect some movement up front. I'll expect some second level pressures. I don't think that Notre Dame is just going to say we're going to rush for man coverage across the board and just see what we're you know, where our ducks lie. I think that they are going to bring pressure at times. It's just about being smart with it. And I think mix and matching coverage is going to be big for this team because, again, if you just sit back and play man all day against Ohio State, you're going to get torched at some point.
Ryan, I know you do a lot of evaluation. Jeremiah Smith, the only guy that I can remember comes into college football like he's a grown man, was Julio Jones at Alabama. Yep. Now, Alabama didn't throw the football like they're doing today, but Julio was like a 27-year-old NFL player going up against college teams. That's the only guy that I can remember that walks off a high school campus and can do what Jeremiah Smith can do.
Well, and Jeremiah Smith, you have to give
Texas a lot of credit.
No, because they bracketed him.
They did bracket him.
Short and long, you know, double team him and let the other players
beat
us.
And Abuka got him.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why pick your poison. I mean, I don't know. That's why you got to affect the quarterback.
Yeah. No, I think picking your poison is exactly right. And honestly, that's why that game was close, you know, into the end, I think, because they were not just heavy man, like they were mixing and matching zone coverage, and they were saying, you know, Carnell Tate, you're going to beat us some. Mecca Buka, you're going to beat us early, but like we're not going to let Jeremiah Smith take over the football game because ultimately that's what he can do. Julio Jones is the easiest comparison. Like it is. I remember him when he was at Alabama, wearing number 8 as a true freshman, and people have asked this already, like, have you ever seen a freshman? Like, that's the only one because he was already like 6'3", 6'4", like 220 at that point. Like he was just a grown man. I mean, there's been some other freshmen that have done really well. Like Amari Cooper, I remember, had a dynamite freshman year for Alabama as well. But like he was more explosive, downfield guy. There's very few guys that just walk in and you're like, that is the most physically impressive dude out on the field, right? So 6'3", 215 pounds. He's a freaking nature. And I mean, you're already seeing guys like Dane Brugler over at The Athletic, a draft analyst that I love a lot, that's, you know, been kind of speaking praises and saying like that kid would be a top 5 pick this year. And like there might be slight hyperbole there, but like not totally. Like you just don't see 6'3", 215 moving the way he does. So yeah, he's a freak show. And fortunately for Ohio State and unfortunately for Notre Dame, they got a couple other ones that are probably going to be in the first round as well in the future. So
that's true. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and your insights, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Ryan.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much. Yep.
All righty. Ryan Roberts does a great job. Originally started covering the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Now he works for A to Z Sports. Does a great job covering the NFL and also college football.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy 2 and get 3 free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.